Im Kunstraum. Der Podcast vom Kunstraum Niederösterreich. Herzlich willkommen bei einer neuen Folge von Im Kunstraum. Tja, warum sollte uns das Schicksal bessere Karten zuteilen als allen anderen Teenagern dieser Welt? Wir planten noch, bevor von aufregender Impflogistik und allerlei Mutanten die Rede war, in diesem Jahr eine Performance-Reihe, um den 16. Geburtstag des Kunstraums feierlich zu begehen. Alles unter dem Motto Sweet 16. Mit dem verlängerten Osterlockdown wurde uns allerdings ein Strich durch die Rechnung gemacht. Das erste Projekt dieser geplanten Jubiläumsreihe, Fanny Futterknechts Power to the Unspoken, Echoes of Resistance, fiel, zumindest in der Pre-Lockdown-Letzt-Version, das war eine Installation, die performativ aktiviert werden sollte, den erneuten Kontaktbeschränkungen und der Schließung der Ausstellungsräume zum Opfer. Wie also auch all die anderen Teenager, die vielleicht schon ihren zweiten Geburtstag nun im Lockdown feiern mussten, erging es uns auch nicht wirklich besser. In einem Gespräch mit Fanny Futterknecht sagte sie zu mir, noch einmal über das Projekt zu sprechen, es zumindest mit den Mitteln unserer Sprache zu behandeln, würde ihr und ihren Kolleginnen vielleicht Closure bringen, also einen Abschluss, auch im emotionalen Sinne. Aus der geplanten Performance wurde in der Vorbereitung eine installative Variante und nun, da die Türen geschlossen waren, ein Video, das wir Ihnen auch nicht vorenthalten werden. Einen Termin für ein Screening im Kunstraum Niederösterreich kommunizieren wir, wenn Veranstaltungen wieder etwas planbarer werden. Dass Fanny Futterknecht und ihr Team überhaupt diese Flexibilität an den Tag legen konnten, also von einer Live-Performance, dann zu einer stillgelegten Performance, bis hin zu einer Installation, dann zu einer Videoproduktion zu kommen, das liegt sicherlich auch an Fanny Futterknechts Arbeitsweise. Zweifelsohne kann man Fanny Futterknechts Praxis als intermedial beschreiben. Sie springt zwischen Video, Performance und Installation. Ich spreche in diesem Podcast aber nicht nur mit Fanny, sondern auch mit Miwa Negoro, mit der Fanny im Zuge des Projekts eng zusammengearbeitet hat. Miwa ist Kuratorin, hat an der ZHDK in Zürich Curatorial Studies und davor in Tokio Architektur studiert. Wir sprechen heute über all das, was sie noch nicht sehen konnten, das künstlerische Projekt eben, und das, was sie normalerweise auch nie sehen, nämlich all die Anstrengungen des flexiblen, unter Anführungszeichen, Umplanens, des ständigen Anpassens an die Gegebenheiten in dieser Pandemie. Dennoch, viel Spaß! Hi Fanny, hi Miwa, how are you doing? You are at Kunstraum right now.
Hi.
Hallo Katharina. Hey, nice talking to you. I'm doing fine, a little bit exhausted after this intense week of planning and replanning and working and recreating, but actually in good spirit, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm also very good. It's a little bit like a strange feeling to be in a space without any audience. But thank you for inviting us for this podcast.
Yeah, maybe we start with giving our listeners some visuals of what Kunstraum Niederösterreich is looking like right now, so they know what we're actually talking about. As I said, you both are recording at Kunstraum Niederösterreich, and the environment of the performance that now became a video, the installation, is still set up. Could you describe how Kunstraum Niederösterreich looks right now, how the exhibition space looks right now?
Wild. I would say, I mean, we basically, what we did, we staged the whole video in the Kunstraum, and we've been using the walls to scribble and draw on, and the objects and the floor. And so it looks like a big, like a trace, basically, of 1 week hardcore drawing and scribbling and acting out through drawing in space. So very much, oh God, sorry, my English is a bit bad today. Miva, do you want to take over, like taken over by the action, I wanted to say.
Yeah, if you would be here, you would see a set of concrete objects, like a beton object, which are placed in the space. And also, I think it's also important to say here that a big, huge piece of textile is covering the gallery wall here, and which basically changes the space completely. And as Fanny described, wild, a whole surface of the gallery wall and concrete object are filled with scribbles in multiple colors and also multiple lines, and it's basically kind of like a layer of scribbles in multiple lines and arcs, and it's very, very loud gesture.
And for our listeners to understand, is it all abstract scribbles, or do the scribbles get figurative at some point?
It's all abstract. I mean, the idea was to scribble according to different intentions, to basically transcribe the different intentions like the performers were doing. We're acting out, so it's completely abstract, but it started with, let's say, more soft, subtle, fine, abstract line drawings, to then more intensified, thicker, stronger, more vivid colored strokes, basically, and also from very slower movements to very hectic, speedy, almost hysteric kind of moving through the space. So in the end, it's all abstract, though I have to say, through this accumulation of this endless amount of lines, you really start to see also in some parts figurative motifs, actually, somehow, because one corner maybe is more intense than another corner. So it's very irregular, basically. The space is filled with lines and strokes, but in a very irregular way. More calm patches and more unquiet patches, basically, like that, yeah.
Well, you also described that the very architectural conditions of Kunstraum Niederösterreich, so the structure, the walls, the floors, became kind of the image carrier, if so to say, of the scribbles. How important were the specific conditions of Kunstraum Niederösterreich for the project? So did Power to the Unspoken, Echoes of Resistance, did it adapt to Kunstraum Niederösterreich, or was it the other way around?
I think it was both. I mean, basically, the idea of the scribbles or drawing in the space really requires, or as part of this project, to really draw upon the space itself, basically, and not on objects or surfaces attached to the space, but to really go and work and draw and imprint onto the structure of the space. So the walls, the corners, the floor, corner parts, even partly at the door, actually. We dare to scribble at the entrance door. It was really important to draw upon the architecture and the space itself, and then the other way around, I think the fact that it was a Kunstraum also then in reverse kind of informed maybe back how we dealt with this act of drawing somehow. So yeah.
In the process of developing this the project, me and Fanny discussed a lot about what an art space represents in like social context, and what does it mean when you scribble on the gallery wall in an art space, which is like space of representation and kind of space of protection. So by the act of scribbling on this architecture of an art space is reflecting our kind of discussion on what is this social structure that we are dealing with through the act of scribbling, which is to us act of drawing, in turn the act of speaking.
So like Miva said, what is, of course, what does the art space represent, and how to deal with that fact on the one hand, but also then within the art space to how to occupy maybe the more unobvious places also of the space, you know, so to inhabit it in a way where you maybe wouldn't like expect things to appear, or places where you usually maybe wouldn't look at also. I think was also part of it.
I wanted to follow up on the title of the work, Power to the Unspoken Echoes of Resistance. I mean, I had to kind of laugh in my head before, because we had so many problems with echoes and reverbs when setting up this recording setup for the podcast. So the echo was back to haunt us in a way. But what does the title mean, or to which contents does the title refer to? Why Power to the Unspoken, and also why Echoes of Resistance?
I mean, Power to the Unspoken is actually a bigger title. It's more the title for a project with which I've been busy with for the past year and a half already. And under the frame of this project, actually already several initiatives happened, also like an exhibition. So it's a bit of a like a bigger project that deals with this act of scribbling as a way of extended form of writing, and Echoes of the Resistance is a bit like the subtitle to within that project, or within this kind of like body of research that is more is the title actually for the performance that we aim to create. And I think we chose this title actually together, Miva and me. We were like brainstorming about it. I think, I mean, the echoes came in because it's so much about echoing. I mean, the act of scribbling, the scribbles manifest in the space and leave their traces and rearrange the space and determine also eventually the space. So there's this kind of echo, and that's also a bit the echo that then the performers would leave behind after their performative acts. And then at the same time, of course, there's the aspect of resistance. The whole idea of the scribbling is that it's supposed to be an act of resistance, or how to scribble, how to scribble as an act of resistance somehow, and to kind of, to embody this act of scribbling. So that's, I think, where the resistance part came in.
Yeah, echoes is like a traces of what was before, basically. And it's also like accumulation of the countless scribbles and over again and again. When we talked about scribble, we had an idea of how we can kind of analyze the act of scribble itself, because it's quite intimate, private action usually. But what does it mean when you scribble together in public space and with also other people as a collective action? And as Fanny described, this project is in this Power to the Unspoken, and basically, how we can kind of transcribe the unspoken or unspeakable to the visible through the act of scribbling. And in process we also kind of looked at the form of protesting as well through the illegible drawings. So this is also the context of, the resistance came in. When we do scribble together with others, what kind of like landscape and imaginary we can create in this public manifestation.
I mean, it's very interesting that you also refer to protesting in public space, because what we would normally associate with or as the representations of a protest as such are signs that are very clear, that use text that have, you know, at least words like no, very appellative forms and words. And you kind of invert this whole concept of directly addressing by using the unspoken, or trying to find a way to represent the unspoken. Or maybe that's the question. Is that what you're trying to achieve with the project?
I mean, the project, anyhow, it developed out of a previous work, which was really about rhetorics and like used in context of protest and demonstrations and manifestations. And I think because there is like a very specific terminologies that are being used, very specific language also that is like has to be very direct and clear, and everybody quickly understands what it's supposed to mean. And there was a process somehow in distancing yourself from this very articulated and direct language and to dissolving it into something abstract, unreadable, and away from any kind of specific terminology, with the question mark: if can this still be understood? Can an intention expressed in abstract scribbles or in abstract drawing? Or a demand expressed in abstract scribbles or drawings, can it still be communicated? Will somebody still read this demand or question or signal or sign of protest in this like abstract accumulation of lines and drawing? So that was a bit the question in this project. What and how can these things still be communicated, or can they still be communicated? And also introducing this like personal aspect of, like Miva said, that scribbling is something very intimate, private, personal. It's not, you cannot like really copy somebody else's scribble. Like it has something very unique. And so, like if you would have a protest with signs, you end up like, you know, people that stand for like a common or walk for a common cause, but then they end up with maybe similar or same signs even, or the same use words. And and so this question, like how personal can this be, or can you create something very personal, or can you have this extremely personal approach and still this idea of a kind of collective intention or a collective claim, how to bring that together somehow, how to coordinate this personal and the collective in a way.
I also had to think about the absence, the like very aggressive absence of speaking in the work, because maybe I have to draw a bigger circle here. I think that for everybody who knows a little bit of Fanny's work, at least I think the images that one has in their heads is always performers holding up signs, so this kind of protest aesthetic, I think, is something that I would recognize with your work, Fanny. But then again, on those signs, there were often words or even small sentences. And so it feels like, you know, going back to abstract scribbles or moving forward to them, actually, for me sounds as a, or looks like a huge step. Although, of course, you didn't say bye-bye to your whole aesthetics with that, but it's something very, very different. And I was wondering if it was still as appellative in a way, still communicating directly with an audience, because that's how I perceived it very much. If a performer holds up a sign with one word, you feel very much addressed by the performance. You're drawn in a way. It's communicating with you, maybe.
It's a form of communication in the absence of words, basically. But I think this addressment, what you were talking about, Katharina, I think this is really also the core in this project too. I mean, this direct addressment of towards the spectator, so entering into like a direct dialogue, despite the fact that there are no words. Like that's why we worked so much also with, like with gazing and certain different states of presence from the performers. So it's really always about communicating something towards the other, basically, but this time in a more abstract way somehow.
I think that's somehow what we kind of trying to do here. I think, I mean, with the performers, we kind of tried so many ways of demonstrating through scribbles. I kind of think that this is not like bye-bye to the text or meaning, but kind of trying to reconstruct the way of communication, way of communicating in a group and kind of group of information and maybe negotiation with others and
And I think, I mean, you talked in the very beginning about like the tension between the individual in its own specificity and the collective is one of the roots in terms of content for thinking about the unspoken in the situation that we're in at the moment. Do you think, I mean, not just in a pandemic, but also beyond that, do you think that there is more that is unspoken or does your interest in the unspoken come from even another source?
I mean, that's quite, there are lots of answers to that. But I think, I mean, one way is, I mean, for sure there is much more in that. I mean, considering now the situation we are in, not just because of the pandemic, but I feel, I mean, because for me, this power to the unspoken is also a bit of a, I don't know, like a personal urge to like express something or to let out a kind of a big silent scream somehow. And I feel that now the situation we are in, it would require a much, much bigger, louder scream. I mean, I could imagine us scribbling all over the city. I mean, like, and not just at Kunstraum, but I mean, in terms of like urgency. On the other hand, because of the pandemic, there is this weird situation of the silence that is there already anyhow, this lack of communication, this lack of interaction somehow, and this lack of dialogue at the moment. It's weird because I feel it's a project that really, in order for this to create this project, you really want to be like close to society somehow, or close to everything that is happening right now. But everything that is happening right now is so distant. It's like the people at distance, like the you I mean, you very rarely meet people, or a lot is online, you know, so there is a much less impact somehow. So it's kind of weird. Like on the one hand, I think there is really an urgence for a need to like express more and further and even more vividly, and to take this much, much further, fed by this current situation that we are in right now. And on the other hand, the fact that there is this current situation that we're in right now, it also takes so much away from you. It makes it also harder somehow, because there is this whole aspect of isolation. And this project is really about breaking isolation. I mean, it is really about creating places also, in a further sense, this project of Power to the Unspoken, there was this idea of making workshops and bringing people together and collectively also scribble and create also signs, and to go out and actually make this gesture of demonstration in the public space. And so it is really in the need. This project is in the need actually for exchange with others. And this is hard right now. So it's a little bit, it's everything is a bit tricky.
Funny, what I also found funny when we talked again about the project was that also, you know, having a chat like this would give you some kind of closure. That's what you said, because of course we're all grieving the fact that the project couldn't happen in plan A or plan B, let's say like this, as a live performance, but also as an installation with some live elements. Although I'm sure that the video will be fantastic, but then again, there were so many plans before that. And I mean, closure is an interesting word, because it means that one can move on also emotionally. And I really like the idea of having this podcast as some kind of improvised therapy for everybody who's involved and who is grieving. Who's grieving the project in a way. I wanted to ask you if you, do you feel ready to move on, or do you still want to cling to the project? Because when I Googled it, being ready to move on apparently is one of the most important steps to actually move on.
I mean, I don't think we move on yet, because we still have like another shooting outside in May, actually, in order to finish the video that now we are gonna do. So anyhow, we are still kind of actually in the midst of doing it. But for me, it was more maybe closure wasn't the precise term somehow. I think it was more about having the need to like exchange about it, or to communicate. Just the fact that that everything happens in the lockdown, and everything happens kind of invisibly, you know, somehow without any witnessing of what's going on. So yeah, I think there is this need when you work so intensely on something with a group of people, like that eventually you have a way, one or the other, to articulate that also. I mean, even if you can't show the work, but then at least you want to articulate something about the work maybe and get some feedback. It's really important for artists or anybody like working in this field, in the culture field, you know, that there is some kind of feedback somehow at some point, even despite lockdown and despite this pandemic situation, I think. And so the question is more like how to find these like strategies of getting yourself or creating like opportunities for feedback and for exchange and discourse, even if maybe things don't happen so obviously or vividly like or publicly like we are used to, somehow.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, because I guess that most of the people who are cultural producers of any kind, may it be curators, artists, whoever, I mean, we all thrive to bring stuff into the world, ideas, projects, works, whatever. And not being able to do that is kind of, you know, hindering us from getting the reward for the work we do, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, I Googled some, I mean, I went to weird websites, to weird listicles about how to find closure. And I found that so, I mean, funny, although you just said that this term might not be the right one for you, but I understood it more as how do we round up this very specific process that we've been into. And I found it so interesting because all of those self-help guides, they were dealing with grief mainly. And it's interesting because we are grieving something that it's not as easy as that we just lost something, but we lost something that, you know, was never there to be lost. So because the project had to be changed and changed and changed to adapt to different COVID measures.
But the process was there. I mean, the outcome wasn't there as expected, but the work was there, and the process was there, and the energy was there, and invested somehow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's really about this investment of energy and work and engagement and like a certain belief into something, and then there needs to be a kind of something coming back, like a kind of echo, you know, like with something or somebody, yeah. So, but that's, I think it's good that we now have this opportunity also to talk about this, actually, yeah.
I mean, maybe it also just reaffirms that it is publicness that is so, so central to what we're doing, and also for, you know, for us as we work in the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think yes, but for example, today there were like a couple of like friends and colleagues passing by just to witness like the installation, and then I realized it's of course it's nice if you make a big project and then you have a lot of people to witness and see it. But even if it's just some people that come, like it's not necessarily actually the quantity. I'm wondering if this is now public, the fact that a friend that came by and saw the work. But it means like opening up to another person or being and having another view on things and exchanging on that. And I think that already helps somehow. I do think that now in this period of the pandemic somehow, and that we all have to kind of improvise and find ways to come up maybe with more intimate formats, like smaller formats. I think it is possible to have a publicness somehow, but in a very maybe more intimate and small format, maybe just have a few people, or a one-to-one situation also can really do something, can be beautiful. Of course, it's something else than like a big crowd of people, but it still gives something, I feel, somehow.
There's one last question that I have. And it's also the last one that will relate to self-help guides, hopefully also in my future. So when I was researching the closure topic, a lot of those listicles said that the best thing is to devise a plan for the immediate future if you want closure for something. So I wanted to end with the question, what projects are ahead for the both of you? And do you plan on collaborating more in the future?
Yeah, I mean, we are still working for the video format, right, Fanny?
Yeah. Yeah. That's our recent future, yeah. I mean, I think it will really, because since we didn't want to make just a documentary of this performance that's supposed to happen and never happened. But we decided to really make a kind of proper video, more filmic work. We had been shooting this for quite some days. We're going to have some outside shots also in May, and then we're gonna, I'm gonna sit and edit, and then we will have, I think there will be still, we will still be busy with this project at least for another 2 months, and then hopefully can present it soon in the Kunstraum in the form of a screening. Yeah, I mean, and once this project is concluded, maybe then I think further. For now, I'm still trying to round it or finish it off. I'm still kind of busy with it, actually, somehow, yeah, with the video format, so.
Yeah, this, I mean, of course, the transition of this medium, of this project, of course, happens due to this, the current situation. But also, I really found it interesting to have such a, you know, change of formats in one project, from workshop to performance, and also like installation and duration of performance, more like small live activation and to video. And it, this kind of like changes of the medium is in general very, I think, interesting. And as Fanny mentioned, it's completely different if you make just the documentation of the live performance, or you create the film and video work. And because I think this project is also about how to kind of recreate a fictional staged setting, and which kind of which is a mixture of reality and fiction. And in this part, I think this transition between performance and the video also reflect this kind of the nature of medium itself. And also translation, yeah, let's say translation of, yeah, the meaning and representation. Yeah, I'm looking forward to, or I'm excited to continue like conversation in this kind of, yeah, regard.
I mean, in a way also the fact that we are now working on the video, we've also a bit extended the project and the process also. I mean, like Miva said, I mean, we are translating. Like, we already realized when we were filming that, oh, we are still very much busy with the performance, and now this will really be like a film video work. We have to approach it differently, and I think now also in the process of editing it will be the same. So maybe needs still some additional materials, other things will be, basically it will become another work. It's not, I mean, it is also a translation, but it will also become another kind of work that we plan to do, of course. So so yeah, so I think that still takes a bit of time to properly finish it somehow.
Yeah, we're looking very much forward to the video. Fanny and Miva, thank you very much for chatting with me about the project. We're also really looking forward to be able to screen the video at Kunstraum. Also for us, the project hasn't ended. Okay, then I will say bye-bye. Or is there something else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I also just wanted to say thank you. It was nice chatting to you, Katharina. Yeah.
Thank you.
And yeah, I hope we could transmit vividly enough the what's going on in the space right now to you.
Herzlichen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wenn Sie trotz allen Verschiebungen am Laufenden bleiben wollen oder gerade vielleicht wegen all diesen Verschiebungen, schauen Sie gerne auf unsere Website www.kunstraum.net oder folgen Sie uns einfach auf allen unseren Social-Media-Kanälen. Bis zum nächsten Mal und auf Wiederhören!